Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. A case before the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court today could have a big effect on future cases involving drug addiction and overdose deaths. At issue here is an appeal by a man named Jesse Carrillo, who was convicted of drug distribution and involuntary manslaughter. Carrillo admits that he bought the drugs and shared them with a fellow student at UMass Amherst, Eric Sinacori, who died of a fatal overdose. But the question here, is he responsible for Sinacori's death? WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker was at today's hearing and joins us now. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Anthony.
So this is a really interesting case. What were the main arguments before the state Supreme Judicial Court today?
Well, there are a couple. Jesse Carrillo's attorney, we'll start with him, is J.W. Carney, and he argued a few things. One, that the jury that heard Carrillo's case should have been allowed to consider whether to convict Carrillo of the lesser crime of drug possession, not distribution.
Jesse Carrillo was not a drug dealer. He didn't profit from getting Eric the heroin. He didn't benefit in any way. He just pooled the money, went to the drug dealer, purchased it, and then gave Eric exactly what he had paid for.
So, Anthony, the justices asked Carney, well, wasn't Carrillo a link then in a distribution chain of getting drugs from supplier to customer? And Carney said no. Carrillo was just buying drugs for the two of them, and it was a very straightforward transaction.
So what about that involuntary manslaughter conviction?
Well, Attorney Carney also argued that Carrillo should not have faced involuntary manslaughter charges because Carney said simply providing the drugs is not enough for a conviction. Carney said in other cases in Massachusetts where someone has been convicted of involuntary manslaughter for providing drugs that led to an overdose, there were other factors involved. They call them plus factors. And Carney says in this case, there's none of those. State Attorney General Maura Healey filed an amicus brief in this case, and she said no plus factors are needed. She said courts have ruled that providing heroin is enough of a reason to charge someone with involuntary manslaughter. But Carney said in this case, also, Carrillo had reason to expect that Eric Sinacori's use of the heroin would be safe. Let's listen.
What you have to look at is what Jesse knew that day. He knew he was a heroin addict. He had a reliable source for his heroin. He used 3,000 bags of this heroin over the last 10 months without overdosing or having any substantial harm. He knew that Eric was a heroin user, was addicted to heroin, as Jesse was, that he had given Eric 10 bags of heroin 2 days earlier in their joint possession that occurred 2 days before.
But after Carney said this, Anthony, Justice David Lowy asked, well, didn't Eric Sinacori text Jesse Carrillo and say that he desperately needed the drug, and shouldn't Carrillo have understood that desperation?
Well, he also knew, I think there was a part of a text message, something about his veins were starving.
Yeah.
And he's got 9 bags, and there's a concern, I think, that because his veins are starving, he might alone use them all at once.
All you need is to do 1 bag, and in 30 seconds, your withdrawal agony ends. That's what Jesse testified to. That's what the expert called at the trial said. As soon as you ingest heroin, the withdrawal symptoms end. And that's what Jesse was doing in giving Eric his part of the heroin.
Wow. So what did the other side argue in this case?
Well, Northwestern Assistant District Attorney Cynthia Von Flattern said that Carrillo should be charged with involuntary manslaughter, and it was the correct charge because he knew the severity of Sinacori's addiction. And a lot of the argument today, really, Anthony, was on case law regarding possession versus distribution, what is wanton and reckless. And Von Flattern disputed this notion that Carrillo had to have made money from providing the drugs to Sinacori or had to be a middleman. She said, we don't know. Maybe there were other things that Carrillo got. Maybe it was easier for him to get drugs more cheaply, or maybe he was essentially buying in bulk, if you will.
There was no evidence that the defendant made a profit on this case. But again, the statute doesn't require that for the definition of delivery and distribution, there is no requirement that there be a profit. And I would submit that there can be other benefits to a defendant.
And she also argued, Anthony, that involuntary manslaughter charges are appropriate because she said Carrillo's aware of the dangers of heroin. And she said Carrillo may have been familiar with the heroin that he got in New York, but Sinicori only used it once before, so Sinicori was alone with a drug product that he was not familiar with. She also said Carrillo texted Sinicori afterward, and when Sinicori didn't respond, Carrillo should have taken an action but did not.
Hmm. Now, I understand that Sinicori was also an informant for local police. How does that further complicate the case?
Right. Well, it wasn't mentioned during the hearing today. It was mentioned in some of the briefs, but not during the hearing. Sinicori was an informant for UMass police after he was caught selling LSD and the drug Molly on campus. The police then apparently agreed not to tell his parents about the drugs, and he was allowed to stay in school so long as he continued to work as an informant for police. After Sinicori's death and after this came out in the Boston Globe, the school agreed to stop using students as confidential drug informants.
I see. So, Deb, this case comes among a series of moves to hold people responsible for providing drugs in overdose cases. So how do you see this in the larger context of all this?
Well, some courts, as we sort of referred to earlier, some courts have said that a supplier is responsible, should be charged with involuntary manslaughter. In 2017, Governor Baker introduced a bill that would create a new manslaughter charge for anyone who provides an illegal drug that results in death. And under his bill, that person would have faced a mandatory minimum of 5 years. Now, the legislature sent that bill to committee, so it's essentially gone. We also know that just in December, Attorney General Healey charged a Dracut doctor with involuntary manslaughter for prescribing opioids that led to an overdose. We also know the Attorney General is pursuing a case against Purdue Pharma and its owners, the Sackler family, over continuing to aggressively market opioids when they were dangerous. And then we heard from Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling just in November, warning doctors that his office is watching their prescribing practices. So there's a lot of legal action going on here.
Right. And any idea when we might get a decision in this particular case?
In this particular case, the SJC is expected to issue a ruling within 130 days.
All right. WBYC senior correspondent Deborah Becker. Deb, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.